The Southern Baptist Convention held their annual meeting a couple weeks ago in Nashville, Tennessee. One of our pastors got to attend, and he came back with a report. Let's listen in on this special edition of the With All Wisdom podcast. Welcome to a special edition of the With All Wisdom podcast, where we are applying biblical truth to everyday life. My name is Derek Brown, and I am pastor and elder at Creekside Bible Church here in Cupertino, California. And I'm here with Cliff McManus, who's pastor teacher at Creekside Bible Church. And in this episode, we are going to discuss Cliff's recent trip to the Southern Baptist Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. But before we do, I want to point your attention to withallwisdom.org, where we have a large and growing collection of resources to help you grow in your walk with the Lord Jesus. We have audio, we have articles, and we just encourage you to check those out. Some are longer, some are shorter, some are more devotional, some are more theologically substantive. So we would just encourage you to check out those resources to help you grow spiritually. So Cliff, you and one of our staff members went to the Southern Baptist Convention last week, and you came back and mentioned to me that overall you were very encouraged, but that it was also helpful to go in person in order to get a firsthand account of what's happening in the SBC. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely, Derek. As you said, I was able to attend, along with one of our staff, in Nashville, Tennessee, the 2021 annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention, June 15 and 16. I'd never been to an annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention before. Our church just became Southern Baptist in the last couple of years here. So even though I've pastored at Baptist churches before, this first time formally affiliated with the Southern Baptists. And so for the past 2 to 3 years, I've heard a lot about the Southern Baptist Convention. They were in the news a lot, especially in this last year. Most of the topics that were in the news were of a controversial nature, as you know. And so basically all I've been hearing for the last 2 to 3 years are negative things about the Southern Baptist Convention. And most of this information I didn't have firsthand knowledge of it, and so I was dependent upon others, as were many of us here at our own church. And so there were questions swirling around, and I found out in the immediate Christian community, among our members and other churches in our area, and brothers in Christ at the seminary we work at, they have the same questions. And the big question is, what is the status of the Southern Baptist Convention?
Right.
In light of all these things that have transpired in the last 2 to 3 years, and if I could distill it down, I'm going into this Southern Baptist Convention, the first time I've ever been to one. Didn't know what to expect. The only thing I took with me was all this hearsay.
All right.
And expectations, most of it negative.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were to summarize it, here were five of the recent issues that had arisen in the last couple of years about the Southern Baptist Convention and the status. Number one, the Southern Baptist Convention was imploding beyond repair. I've been told that time and time again by some, I would say, pretty influential resources.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard it, I believed it. And I've tended to believe it for the last year and a half, 2 years, last time I heard that. So the Southern Baptist Convention and Southern Baptist churches, they're going down. Number two, this is related. The Southern Baptist Convention is abandoning sola scriptura, or their commitment to the priority of Scripture, the inspiration of Scripture, the authority of Scripture, the sufficiency and inerrancy of Scripture. And that was a common theme of what I was hearing from many people. And then you recall that in the last year, the big controversy about someone thrown out there, the possibility that Beth Moore could be nominated as the next president of the Southern Baptist Convention.
I remember hearing that.
Yeah, and that was in all the headlines, and people were talking about it, and the context where I heard it being discussed, I believe that, wow, this is legit. That was my takeaway. Wow. And then another issue that arose primarily out of the last annual meeting of 2 years ago, when a resolution was proposed and passed by the Southern Baptist Convention, and that was related to CRT.
Yep.
And there were people talking about that and a buzz about that and some up in arms about that. And I remember some pastors telling me, but can you believe they adopted a resolution about CRT? I didn't know what CRT was.
You're right.
So can you please explain, is that an acronym? Is that stand for something else? Oh, critical race theory. Oh, okay. So then I had to begin doing research as to what's that all about. And still a lot of people don't know what that is all about. Right. But anyway, and then finally, most recently, actually you forwarded me an article by Russell Moore of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Public Policy on Liberty arm or commission, a position that he's served for years. And he basically, wasn't it a resignation letter? A very lengthy resignation letter that was leaked. And that became controversial, even though Russell Moore had been a source of controversy or a lightning rod the past couple of years in the Southern Baptist Convention, probably because he was portraying himself as maybe a whistleblower on some things or a critic from the inside.
Right.
So those were the five biggies. So if you take those five together, well, my takeaway was, wow, the Southern Baptist Convention is a fractured mess and on the brink of self-destruction.
Right.
So I want to talk about some of those issues and particularly get your feedback. So then I go to the convention and I spend two full days at the convention with almost 16,000 delegates or members. Doing business at the convention. And then my takeaway was I was very encouraged by the experience. And most of the concerns or drama or whatever else that I had heard prior to that, I didn't see it. I didn't see unity and fracturing. I saw a lot of unity around central themes of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walked away very encouraged. So I'll talk a little bit more about that as well. But so when I came home, I just felt like God had put it on my heart that, I need to share my firsthand testimony because other people were doing it. People were writing articles and blogs, and you see things on YouTube and reading all kinds of information. So I wanted to have my say because I didn't think my perspective was necessarily getting airtime as it should, because it was a radical change in terms of my perspective about what I was being told and then what I actually saw firsthand. So that was kind of the goal on this podcast today. To, in a special way, encourage our listeners as to a firsthand report from someone who actually went to the Southern Baptist Convention and maybe can relate some of the highlights of why I found it to be very encouraging. So, Derek, let me ask you a couple of things. Probably the biggest dark cloud over the Southern Baptist Convention going in, and many news outlets were talking about this, was the critical, the Southern Baptist Convention's stand on critical race theory.
Yeah.
Because 2 years ago, they did adopt a resolution that in the wording said that the Southern Baptist Convention would consider critical race theory, CRT, as an analytical tool by which to use it as a paradigm to study, research, evaluate race and race relations and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Although in that same resolution, it did start out by saying that the scripture is the authority, the sole authority and sufficient.
Yeah.
So the two went together, that we are still committed to scripture as the sole authority, and at the same time, there's that little clause about that CRT is legit as a study tool.
Right.
And hence, that created the fissure or just huge division.
Yeah.
And I know you've researched a little bit and done a lot of reading on critical race theory and racism. You even preached a sermon in the past year on race and what the Bible has to say about race. So.
Yeah.
Maybe in a nutshell, what are your thoughts on CRT, critical race theory? Because what I found is that most Christians I'm talking to, they don't even know what it is. They can't even begin to define it.
Yeah.
And that's how I was like 2.5 years ago.
Yeah. And I think it almost defies easy categorization and definition, although I will offer a definition in a moment. But it does, and even looking at an article by a gentleman who specializes in this area, Devin Carbato, he's writing in the Connecticut Law Review. He even concedes at some level that it is hard to define and that it is difficult to draw the boundaries succinctly around CRT. But nevertheless, I do think you can say it this way. CRT, critical race theory, is viewing our relationships socially through the lens of power dynamics. So you have the those who are in a position of power socially, typically that would be whites, and then you have those who are in a position of not having the same power and authority, and that would be typically people of what they call people of color. And due to that structure, that the way things are structured in our current society, you can view and understand why there are inequities and between races, because you're viewing it through this lens of power. There are some who are the what they would call the oppressors, and there are those who are the oppressed. And it's no longer so much an issue of actual written law, but now much more even pervasive than that. It's even, although we would say we don't have explicit racist laws that we did prior to the Civil Rights Acts in the 60s, even though you no longer have those things on the books, you still have what critical race theorists would say racism everywhere, or just racism as normal. And I'll just read you a brief quote here from a book called Critical Race Theory by Richard Delgado. He says, one of the basic tenets of critical race theory is that racism is ordinary. It's normal life, the usual way of we do business, the common everyday experience of most people of color in this country. And so wanting to understand that reality and how it plays out for those who would be in that oppressed group. I would say it's not merely an analytical tool, because, and I'll just mention a couple more things and then I'll hand it over to you, but it is grounded in a worldview. It's grounded in questions of who we are, what our identity is, what is essential to our nature, what is our nature, what is our ultimate problem, why don't we relate well, why are there people who are oppressed, why are there oppressors, why does racism exist, and how can we remedy that? Those are all issues related very clearly to worldview and to identity and to human nature. And as we've talked about on this podcast before, Scripture speaks to all of those things. And so we can't just see this as a neutral analytical tool. We have to see that it is exploding with worldview implications. And there are insights, of course, because of God's common grace. There, I would say that there are insights that CRT offers that are true. Here's an example. A theme of critical race theory is that the social construction thesis holds that race and races are products of social thought and relations, not objective, inherent, or fixed. They correspond to no biological or genetic reality. Rather, races are categories that society invents, manipulates, or retires when convenient. And even in my sermon you mentioned, I stated that clearly, that biblically speaking, there's one race, it's the human race, and there are different ethnicities. There's no biological superiority between any two groups of people, regardless of their color. And so CRT would affirm that, and we would affirm that too biblically, but that's not all that it affirms. And so we need to be careful that we understand it biblically, recognize that it is a worldview, and that it is pitting groups of people against each other, and it does have some insights that are helpful, but in the end, its solution is not the redeemed and regenerate heart who now loves God and loves neighbor. It is the ultimate solution is economic liberation, social liberation, and so on, where we would say that what ultimately needs to happen to the human heart is that it needs to be changed, it needs to be born again, it needs to know Christ in order to love God and love neighbor. And that is the ultimate solution to any kind of racism. Racism is something that we would clearly reject, and Christians must reject, but there's only one solution, and that would be the gospel.
Amen. If I could summarize what you just said, thanks for sharing that. In keeping with what you said, would you agree then that critical race theory, I think that was an important distinction you made, it's not just an analytical tool, which would be like a screwdriver in the toolbox.
Right.
But rather it's a worldview, mm-hmm. which is, it's the whole toolbox.
Right, exactly.
And it is a form of Marxism in that Karl Marx emphasized class warfare. So in essence, isn't this a manifestation of class warfare?
I would say yes, and I think you see that being played out presently. It's not creating unity, Right. It's actually creating strong and stronger division, and actually, I would say, inciting hate between groups, which is very sad, actually.
It is. It's doing the very opposite of the biblical and Christian ethic.
Exactly.
And your diagnosis, calling it a worldview, a lot of people don't understand the importance of what that means.
Mm-hmm.
A worldview is a comprehensive paradigm by which you read and evaluate and interpret all of life.
Right.
Completely. And when you're talking about a worldview, you always have to look at the origin of that worldview. And critical race theory is a theory. Mm-hmm. It was actually invented by somebody.
Right.
It was invented by really so-called smart elitists in academia.
Right.
And not just recently. It's got a long heritage. It's just been iterated and named different things most recently, now critical race theory. But if you look at the origin of who invented critical race theory, to a T, they're pretty much, they are pagans, they're humanists, they have a secular naturalistic worldview.
Right, right.
They reject the Bible, they reject God, they reject biblical truth, the gospel, Christ. Everything that is important to our worldview is categorically set aside.
Right.
So the foundation of their worldview is completely contrary and an enemy to Christianity.
Right.
And that's the rock bed of critical race theory.
Mm-hmm.
Why in the world would Christians be wanting to adopt that?
Right, right.
And trying to integrate it into a Christian worldview? You can't.
Right.
But it is a very complicated ideology and a lot of confusion surrounding it. And I think, so the big deal was that the Southern Baptist Convention 2 years ago in 2019, there was a resolution. I was not there, but I've read the resolution. I think it's called Resolution 9, where it adopted critical race theory as an analytical tool to be used.
Yeah.
And there was some debate, but not much debate, not thorough debate. And a vote was made, and in hindsight, apparently the vote was made in light of a lot of ignorance on the part of the delegates who were there. They didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know what critical race
theory. Right.
It was a new thing.
It was, yeah.
And so legitimate debate and explanation wasn't given to it. And so a lot of people in hindsight are saying that, you know, what I thought critical race theory was about was just being against racism.
Right.
And if you are not for critical race theory,
right,
then you are a racist.
Yep.
And nobody
right.
wants to be called a racist.
Right.
So that's really the nexus of the issue.
Yeah, and it polarized people, unfortunately.
Yeah. Because
there are people who really did care what Scripture said about these issues.
Yep.
Who saw that racism is wrong, it's sinful.
Yep.
And yet they would say that, and then all of a sudden they're labeled as a critical race theorist. It just became confused, unfortunately, and clarity was lacking. So
yep.
Very polarizing.
So we had 2 years for people to get clarity on, okay, what exactly is this critical race theory stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And so the truth surfaced, as it always does.
Right.
And God brings clarity to his people, as he always does.
Right.
And that comes through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and teachers that he's given to the church. And so the good news is, as I was at the convention, they came up with a new resolution. It's called Resolution 2, and it's on the sufficiency of Scripture for race and racial reconciliation. And the way they do things, you can't really just undo a resolution that was done previously, like
right.
it never existed. But you can make new resolutions to override
mm-hmm.
previous resolutions that were illegitimate, or such as Resolution 9. And so here's the new resolution that they proposed and that was actually voted for and will now be current. And it's encouraging. It's long. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just maybe two of the sentences here. Really, this was written to counteract CRT,
okay.
critical race theory being implemented in the church. And it says, whereas all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, rebuke, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work, 2 Timothy 3:16, and that all Scripture is totally true and trustworthy, resolved, we therefore reject any theory or worldview that denies that racism, oppression, or discrimination is rooted ultimately in anything other than sin. And be it further, the only solution to that is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So it doesn't mention critical race theory, but that was specifically written to critique, undermine, and reject critical race theory.
Right.
And not just critical race theory, all theories, even in the future,
mm-hmm.
That would impinge upon the authority of Scripture. So that was a good thing.
Yeah.
That was encouraging.
A reemphasis of the sufficiency
of Scripture. The sufficiency of Scripture, and which takes me to my greatest encouragement and takeaway from the Southern Baptist Convention. There's a lot I could say, but the main thing is after sitting there for 15, 20 hours Time and time again, leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention got on the stage representing their respective areas of ministry or a committee that they oversaw, and the exaltation of Christ happened time and time again. The authority of Scripture, the inspiration of Scripture, the sufficiency of Scripture, the inerrancy of Scripture, that was the common theme.
Mm-hmm.
The glory of the gospel, the mandate to be the church and to advance and proclaim the gospel to sinners everywhere across the world. So they were laser-focused, and it was a time of worship and a time of prayer, and the entire conference, even in times of discussion and debate over some of the wording of these resolutions, was done with tremendous respect, with humility, with complete unity. And so overall, it was completely encouraging. And so firsthand testimony that, from my perspective, the Southern Baptist Convention is not fractured beyond repair. It's not close to imploding. As a matter of fact, God did some very good and unifying and exciting things at this convention and brought clarity to several of these controversial issues that have been stirring in the pot the last couple of years.
That is really encouraging. And just a kind of a side lesson, how important it is to get firsthand accounts rather than just relying upon second or third hand accounts.
Yes, we call that today the fake news.
Yeah.
A lot of it. And that was also one of my bigger takeaways. The fake news I'd been reading and hearing and seeing that just wasn't true. As a matter of fact, when we were there at the convention and we voted for the new president,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking through all the headlines, and there's all kinds of headlines from CNN to even Christian outlets
yeah.
who have headlines that just are not accurately representing the very convention that I am at and
wow.
participating
wow.
in.
Wow, what a good lesson.
And one of them had just a divisive headline mm-hmm. based on the vote of the new president, and it wasn't true. And then the picture that went with it was a picture of Mike Pence standing behind a pulpit.
Hmm?
And regarding the vote of the Southern Baptist, most recent vote of Southern Baptist Convention manifests further fracturing in the denomination. And then there's a picture of Mike Pence with the article. So as you're reading this, the implication is Mike Pence was at the Southern Baptist Convention spearheading the divisive vote. And the Southern Baptist Convention was made up of Trumpsters and Mike Pence and
wow.
conservative Republicans versus the moderates and the liberals
wow.
on the other side who didn't vote for either Al Mohler
mm-hmm.
or the pastor from Georgia that was running as well.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my colleague that were with me, we saw that headline and we're just laughing
yeah.
and crying at the same time.
Right.
Because it was
yeah.
so pathetic
right.
and so fake. And yeah. really behind it all, we always have to remember that Satan is real and he'll use anything to stir up division in the Church of
That's
Christ.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Cliff, for that encouraging conversation. Again, this was a special edition of the With All Wisdom podcast. And as we are leaving you, we just encourage you again to go to withallwisdom.org to find a large and growing collection of resources to help you grow in your walk with the Lord Jesus. We'll see you again next time.